Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Try again. How are you guys doing? Alive? That person next to you, make sure they're alive. Never mind awake. Eh? It's like, shes, so cool. Lovely to be together. As if you've been here the last few weeks, you would have probably picked up that we've been talking a lot of almost like metaphors, talking about the river and now the rain. And it was like, what is this all about? And it's actually what God is doing in and through us right now. He's actually stirring us. It's about his presence. The last few weeks, we've really been, as eldership team and leaders, we're saying, God, what do you want to do within us and through us as a congregation, specifically in Melkbos, Joshua generation? And it's been this time of just like really following the wind, like the wind, got the river, and like, Lord, lead us. We don't just want to come here and tick a box on a Sunday morning and say, yes, we did church today, and off we go and live our lives. Like, Lord, come and stir within us to be effective so we can see a radical increase and have a double portion that we heard about last night, that we'll see many lives being impacted and changed for the glory of God. So, and I'm very excited for today, actually. I was almost forced to take a weekend off last week. I missed last weekend. And right now, I don't want to miss a Sunday. I don't even want to miss a Wednesday. But they actually asked me, Karen, you guys need to get away, go rest, find the Lord. So thanks for letting us off last week. But really, I don't want to miss one moment with what God's doing right now. I don't want to miss a Sunday. I was like, I want to be up front. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? So it's been a very exciting and a great place. But in that time away, while we were just seeking the Lord for what he's doing in and through us, I really got excited for a word for us, specifically for today, for what he wants to do. So I've got a few scriptures I want to share with you, and as we go there. So 2025, yes, it's almost done, you know that. How many weeks until Christmas? Who knows? 9 weeks. 9 weeks until Christmas. Start getting the shopping ready. 9 weeks. 2025, who started the year like 2025, year two, to be alive, year to thrive. Who had that? I started my year to thrive. And as I got to like about October, like actually before, around about July, I was like, Lord, it feels like year to survive, never mind, thrive. Like, well, I had all these great anticipations, New Year resolutions that I started with, and it really felt like a year of, Lord, help me to survive. And as I was preparing for this, the last few weeks, the Lord relayed on my heart. Actually, Dylan came to me one day, just randomly at one of our meetings, they said, Ivan, don't burn out. How's it going? And as he said that, something jumped in my spirit. And for us today, I've got a word for us as Joshua and Melkbos Strand, and it's this, don't burn out. Not only that, but keep the fire burning. Don't burn out, keep the fire burning. Another metaphor, we've heard about rivers, we've heard about the rain, but about the fire of God today that wants to ignite and refresh us. So over the next few minutes, I'd love to take us on a journey, just to see what God is doing, what he's done, what he's doing, and where he wants to take us. So I'll spend probably about 15, 20 minutes. I do have a son that's going to time me, and just really take us on a journey to see where God wants to enthuse us this morning. And I'm going to look at the Word of God. We want to base our lives on the Word of God, Scripture. Very important. You don't just want to hear my Word this morning. I've got some cool things to say, but you want to hear the Word of God, because that's where there's life, and that's where we come alive. And then I want to encourage you. Who needs encouragement this morning? All three of you. Oh, five of you. Awesome. We need encouragement. And can I challenge us too? Do you give me permission to challenge a little bit? I'm good at challenging. If you've been around me long enough, I won't make you sing, Steph, don't worry. But can I challenge you a little bit? Are you fine if I give a few challenges in between this? And then I'd love to give us a few keys just to move us forward in the ways of God. And finally, if you're visiting here, the best part I'm going to leave for the end. The best part's always at the end, the nugget at the end. Just to accept the Lord into your life, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's really why we're all here. That's why we're here, not just warming chairs. The good news I'm going to leave right to the end, something to look forward to. If you haven't responded to God before, we would love to invite you into this family of the Lord. Not to Josh Jam, but to accept Jesus into your life. And that God has brought you here today, not by any coincidence, but he has a purpose for your life. So we'll leave that near the end, but get ready for that. So let's get straight into the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 6. I've asked for our radio voice. Come, radio voice. This is your time to shine, Jake. If you've got your Bibles, make sure you've got your Bibles with you. Sometimes the projector will not work. This is the Word of God. Great to have phones, but something about this tangible Word of God. Who's got their Bible? Can they hold it up this morning? If you've got your Word of God, this is a sword of the Spirit. This is a sword of the Spirit. So bring your Bibles. There we go. This is a big, small text. Leviticus chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles, you've got your phones, and we're going to go to verse 12 and verse 13. The Lord said to Moses, and you're going to find it. Old Testament. Are you ready? This is Jake finding it. 12 and 13. Chapter 6, 12 and 13.
Highlighted. Yo, it's highlighted. It's from the Lord. You guys ready? The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out.
Sure. You just go home off that. The fire must not go out in the morning, every morning. Keep the fire burning. Joshua generation, Melpus, keep the fire burning. If you're in church for the first time, you're like, what the heck is this church? Keep the fire burning in this Old Testament. What is God saying to Moses? Like this endless bride. Like, I want to join this church. This is like where they're going to bride every Sunday morning. No. He's saying this represents the Spirit of God, the presence of God in their midst. It was a sign for them to keep the fire burning. Physical reminder of God's presence. And 3,500 years after God gave this word to Moses, he's saying to us here in Melpus, the exact same word to us. Josh, Jen, don't burn out. Keep the fire burning. And if we look at the word burnout, we've heard it in our generation, we hear it quite often, the word burnout. Who's heard the word burnout in some form or other? Yeah. And I had a look at where it actually come from, and it's quite interesting. Sure, I've got a few notes. My eyes are getting worse, so I've got a few pages. But the original term burnout actually originated in the early 1600s, and this was before Eskom, obviously. It's when they had candles, okay? It's before Eskom, they had a thing called the candle burneth out. And that was like when a physical form of a candle would burn out. And that's where the initial term burnout came about. And in the early 20th century, it jumped across to starting to use a term of loss of energy or passion in a person's life. The burnout of inner fuel. And then 1974, Dr. Herbert Friedenberger, he published a whole research document about this term called burnout. And he labeled it as a time where people in the workplace or in self-help areas were burning out. They were burning out physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And right from that place of 1974, books were started and it entered into the sports realm. You'd often hear the word burnout in the sports realm. And often, even the terminology called hitting the wall would be used. This was often used in relation to burning out. And I looked at this like, how often in church, emotionally, physically and spiritually, can we burn out? Even going through church life, we can do this thing Sunday in, Wednesday in, doing community, and even the life of church, we can so easily burn out. Getting towards the end of the year right now, towards December, I want to prepare us that we stay hot on fire for Jesus. And for me personally, just an illustration, I love sports. I love sports. I love extreme sports. For those that know me, I am competitive. A lot of our guys, like Andrew, will say he's not competitive. I am very competitive, okay? I'm a Springbok. I'm a Protea. I've represented the country twice in two different sports. So I'm very competitive. That's why I don't play, picketball, paddle, because I want to win. So that's why I don't play golf, because that ball goes everywhere. I can't control that stupid white ball. It goes everywhere. But I'm very competitive to where I can have my hands on and actually train and purpose myself towards something. And in this time, a couple of weeks ago, Boren spoke about us how we would go and paddleboard. That's where you stand up on a paddleboard and you've got a paddle in your hand and you go on downwinders. We start in Millerton on a big, strong, windy day, and we would race and we go from Millerton all the way to Big Bay. And we would send it, yes, we would send it and look at big waves and try to survive out there. And one year, we would normally have races from Millerton to Big Bay, which is 10 kilometers. And this was quite our average racing pace. We were good at that. And one year, they decided to extend it from Millerton to Melpois, which is double this pace, and it's 21 kilometers. I thought, oh, that can't be that hard. I mean, it's twice the distance. We do this quite often. And the race started. And Ivan was really good. Flew myself, very secure in myself. I was a lot younger, immature in those times. Bryant was ready to race. I think Monet was there, a bunch of us. And we were ready to do this race of a 20-kilometer. I was like, man, I've done this so many times. We drink a glass of water, have a peanut butter, or have Pronutra before I go. How hard can it be? And I took off. I took off like, I mean, I'm going to win. I'm going to show the guys how to do this thing. And I got to about right outside Big Bear. I think I actually had two Red Bulls that morning. I thought, let me supercharge and have good fuel this morning. And I had two Red Bulls. They were free that morning. So I like, just down these two Red Bulls. Yes. And I took off. I took off fast. And I got just outside Big Bay. And I was like, whoa, this feel like I'm running out of it. I'm in front. I'm taking off fast, but I'm feeling like I'm running out of energy. And as I got towards where that, it's called, Hakhat area, all of a sudden, I hit the wall. There's a word called in sports called bonking, but hitting the wall sounds a lot better. I don't want to go, but it is the word that they use, okay? But let's use the word hit. I hit the wall. Just keep it, stay with me. I hit the wall. Especially James, hey, behave, my son. I hit the wall. All of a sudden, it felt like this black cloud came over me. I'd extended myself so far, with little fuel in my body, and I had this cloud come over me. My whole vision disappeared. I had this tunnel vision that came, and all I could see was black spots. And my body froze. I couldn't move. I was in front. I looked behind me. I could just stand on my board. Remember, the wind is now this particular day was about 55 knots. It was one of our strongest days. Big ocean. And I was standing out there in 50-knot winds, just standing with watching my ocean, thinking I was having a heart attack. I didn't know what was going on. And I was actually just hitting the wall. I'd frozen. I could just see guys going past me, and there's nothing I could do. Slowly, my body resurfaced, and I came right, and I got to the end. And why am I telling this story? How can we relate it to our lives? I think very often in church life, very similar. We can take off running. We just put up our hand up on Sunday morning. Lord, I want you in my life. I want to serve you. And we take off sprinting, not realizing that this is actually an endurance race. We are running with endurance the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And for us, so often we can just take off really running hard. And it's great. If you're a new believer in the Lord, run hard for the Lord. I've been saved now for 54 years. I love Jesus as much as I did when I gave my life to Jesus when I was 4 years old. But I'm growing in my faith. I'm learning. It's working out my salvation daily. I'm adjusting. People around me are tweaking me. They're coming around me like, and that part in you needs to change. Like, oh. So it's an endurance, long-distance race. Don't take it alone. Secondly, I took off alone. I'm like, yes, I've got this race. In church, can I say something to you? If you get nothing out of this morning, don't try alone. Don't try alone. If you're running through life trying to do it alone, you can't. Get in with where people can encourage you, get around you to help you not burn out. And then stay equipped. I love what Josh Jennings is apart, 4:12, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Getting equipped, having the tools, having the handles. So I took off on that race. I had no flare. I had no cell phone. I was stuck in the middle of the ocean, 50-knot winds, standing there just like a rigor mortis, standing, and no form or way to make known that I was in a desperate state of need. I needed the right tools, get equipped. And then I wasn't fueled. I wasn't fueled properly. Relying on a Red Bull is not going to allow you get you very far in a long-distance race. It might ignite you for a minute, but you need to get fueled. 2025, yo, I'll tell you what. If you didn't have any of those, oh, Jesus moments, the guys that work with me know me very well, like, hey, Jake, oh, Jesus. That means, oh, Lord, help us. Jesus, help us. And I've had a lot of those. It's been a wild year. Eh? Anyone else had a wild year? It's just me. Like, oh, yeah, a wild year all around. And I want to look at us today, one or two questions. And two parts I want to break us down to in a few minutes is, firstly, how do we not burn out and how do we stay on fire? Two parts. So if you are making notes, good for you. But yeah, really good for you. I mean, really good. The right phrase. Good for you. Yeah. First part. So how do we not burn out? Especially as we get close to Christmas right now. How do we stay on fire and not burn out? Get fueled daily. I love what God said to Moses. In the morning. Get fueled daily. Stay close to Jesus. Really Stay close to Jesus. Again, you cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. In the morning, can I encourage you, don't wait for later. When you wake up in the morning, first thing, find the Lord. Time of prayer. Read the word. Don't just go to the app verse for the day. That's not going to feed you. That's like a little boost. That's like a quick little half a Red Bull, like, word for today. That's not going to sustain you through the day and through the week and through what God has for you. Early in the morning. I love what Martin Luther said. He's one of the reformers. His statement was this: I have so much to do today, I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I'm so busy today that I know that I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I mean, so I'm not putting 3 hours of prayer on you, but that was Martin Luther's, like, man, I am so busy, I'm going to seek the Lord for the first 3 hours. Jesus, what did he do? Son of God amongst us, showing us how to live. We don't have it on the board, so I'll read it for us. In Mark 1, verse 31, it says, very early in the morning, this is cool, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Everyone say, got up. So first key, when you wake up in the morning, don't try to lie in your bed and have a quiet time, okay? I often try this, like, it's so nice and comfortable. What's this called? The battle of the duvet. You lie there like, oh, Lord, this is so special time with you. Jesus got up, and then it says he left the house. So you don't have to necessarily leave your house, but leave the place of comfort that could restrain you. And he went off to a quiet place where he prayed. So even Jesus, God in flesh, showed us. He got up first thing in the morning and went and prayed and sought the Lord. Fuel, very important. God's word, having God's word, time in prayer, presence, his presence, and then worship. Worshiping the Lord, saying, God, I need you. I'm hungry for you. I'm so desperate for the Lord. So I'm in business. I know most of us, many of the men in this place are in business in some form or other. And let me tell you, to serve the Lord in the business place and be a Christian and do work is not the easiest. You need Jesus. Even more so, you're a mom at home. You need Jesus even more. If you're married, you really need Jesus in your marriage. If you're single, you need Jesus probably more than all of us. To stay pure and on form with what the Lord has. Find his presence. Stay close to others. One thing I've learned, even in the life of the church, so taking off alone wasn't helpful in my race. I've learned now as I've matured, when I do these races, I make sure Nate's close, or even James, my son will stay close to me. And when I'm out there, I continuously look and I see, James is close. If something goes down, I've got somebody I can call. And this is security for me as I get older. But as I mature, I say, there's guys around that can help me. So even in my Christian walk, there's people, there's guys that will be there to help encourage me and help me stay on track. Who's walking with you? Who's really close? Who knows what's your heart's desires, your dreams? Are there people around your life that you're accountable with? To not burn out, here's a practical key. Rest well. Rest well. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, the Bible says. So come on Sundays. But if there's a time where you just feel like, man, I'm serving so hard for the Lord, even as leaders, we're constantly monitoring, like, Nathan, you need to take a break. Barrent, you need to take a break. We often say to Barrent and Leanne, you guys have been running hard. Make sure you take a break. So get good rest. Here's a good one. So I'm going to challenge you just a little bit. Jason's going to say, yes, exercise. Jason, yes. Exercise, paddle, yeah, go paddle. Paddle, okay, go paddle. Best sport to run right now. It's good. But whatever, no matter what age you're at, try get some exercise. If you're old and you can't do extreme sports, stand up, walk, get around, exercise. Do these practical things that will help. And then one thing I want to challenge us with, even as Josh Jen, watch how we eat. We don't often hear this in church. Watch how we eat. Bible often talks about gluttony. We don't talk about that in church much, but be careful not to put anything on you. So be careful that we do not overindulge, because that can bring us down too. So just practically be aware of that too. And here's a good key for all the wives, actually all the husbands. Husbands, hold your wives right now if you're near them. Hold their hands. Husbands, I want you to encourage your wives to get out and exercise. Okay? Now, husbands, you need to make time for your wives to get out and exercise. Not come on you, but we are telling you. Amen. All the wives said, amen. So all this is about the husband. I need to go surf. I need to go play golf. No, husbands, look after the kids. Do the chores. Let your wife get out. This is going to be like the best service ever. All the wives are like, I love that service. But really it is. I often encourage Karen, say, Karen, get out, go for a walk. And in that, you come alive. You get refreshed. So these are practical ways we can just work it out in the ways of God. Is that good? Second part, keep the fire burning. How do we keep the fire burning? There's one spark. There's a saying that one spark can set the forest on fire. It takes one spark. One of us on fire in this place, as the water flows, as we step into that river that we heard about last week, as this rain pours, one spark can set this whole community on fire. This whole area can be set on fire by one spark. And I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to be so on fire for Jesus when I'm around people that they see there's something different about me. It's like, it's not about Ivan, but there's something about him. And may that be the fire of God that's within me. Kaylin, come up real quick. I'm going to pick on my daughter here, my beautiful daughter, Kaylin Van Vuren. And we had an awesome time, just to give some context if you're visiting. We had an interesting but awesome time last Thursday with Tommy. Who was actually with Tommy last week? It was a great time. And for us, some of us, it might have been different. Like, what was this all about? But God was there. God was present. And Kaylin, I'd love you to just share just shortly what God did in your life in that time.
So the Lord has been taking me on a journey in the last few, probably about 2 or 3 weeks. And it started at the Youth Leaders Equip. And it was all about praying against the fear of man. And I prayed those prayers at that time. And I prayed them and I really wanted to just overcome this thing of fear of man. But I didn't have the faith for the outworking of it. And so I realized that I was leading worship last week Sunday, and I had to prepare, and oh my goodness, I was so scared. I was so scared because usually I have Nate with me leading, and I was up there by myself, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I'm so scared. And I was like, why am I so scared? Like, I prayed against the fear of man. But so the Lord just revealed that to me. Like, he put his finger on that thing of fear of man, and I was like, no, I just got to step out. I just got to do it. I just got to step out. I got to do it. And then I was still so scared. And then on Thursday, we had the time with Tommy, and I was sitting there. I went with Ivan and Karen, and I could just feel the Lord's finger was on my heart the whole time. And I was like, Lord, whatever you want to do tonight in my heart, like, please would you do it? I need to change. Like, something needs to happen. And I don't know what it's going to be, but I trust you, and Lord, would you come and do it? So I was like, okay, whatever's going to happen will happen. And then throughout the whole thing, the Lord's finger was still in my heart. And then at the end, he had a call for salvation. And I was like, Lord, I know I'm saved, but this is what you're asking me to do. So he said, like, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, like, would you just put up your hand? And I was so scared. I'm like, what are people going to think? Like, I know I'm saved. I put up my hand in 2021. I know I'm saved. But the Lord had his finger on my heart, and he was like, okay, this is what you're going to have to do. So Karin was sitting next to me, and I was like, I can't do this by myself. So I grabbed Karin, and I put up my hand, and I was like crying so hard. But and I knew Karin was next to me. So and even just putting up my hand in obedience, knowing that, like, Lord, I'm giving my heart to you again, because I need you. I can't just always just trust my leaders to know what to do and step out in you. Like, I trust my leaders and I'll do whatever they say, but stepping out is always the hard part in stepping out and following Jesus. So I knew my courage had gone. So putting up my hand and saying, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what, like, standing in him, like, I could get that courage back and know and know and know that I'm standing on Jesus and I'm in him. And with that, like, being able to step out and being able to step out in him, then I could get that courage because I know that I'm with Jesus.
Helen, come here. Is that keyboard walking? Can you put it on or not? If you can, if you can. And then she got out this week, got to witness to a friend, had a mini revival afterwards, actually. She had boldness. She stepped out, actually invited someone to the house. A bunch of girls got around. From that place, they got set on fire, and there's others around her that actually got ignited. I just want to say to us, Josh Jen, I'm chatting with Monet this week. Josh Jen Malpos, don't become tame. Yo. Don't become so tame. Even with Tommy here last week, like, I'm not sure about this. We become critical. Josh Jen Malpos, you're called to be wild. Joshua generation, don't become tame. Really, stay on fire. Keep the fire burning. For some of us, even in this place, I had a look at my own life this week. Have I become boring? Have I become a boring Christian? When someone meets me, like, oh, I definitely want to become a Christian. Look at that guy. Don't become a boring Christian. This is the challenging part. Don't become a fire extinguisher. Yo, that's what you say, yo. Yo. You know what a fire extinguisher is? When the fire starts moving, like, just a little, Like, I don't think that was God really there? That's a fire extinguisher. Just trust God for the best. Say, Lord, I want all of you. Like Helen, I know I've accepted the Lord in my life a few years ago, but Lord, I want to make sure I'm right with you. Today, I'm putting my hand up. I'm responding because it's a sign of salvation. I'm saying, Lord, you know my heart. Yo. Let us never become so tame and dignified. We're concerned about people around us, what they're thinking. I love Isaiah. Often there's a altar call that goes up, and this young man stands up, he puts his hand up, or he stands up. May you never stop standing up till the day you die. It's like, Lord, today I want to receive you afresh, set on fire for you. When last did you get out the boat? Walk in faith. One way to get on fire, get out of the boat. Actually, before that, even getting out the boat, maybe this. When last did you get out your little box before the boat? Comfort zone. Even right now, the Lord could be stirring someone saying, I want you to run around this church just out of freedom. I need to run. And you're like, oh, God, what are they going to... Man, who cares what anyone thinks? If God says something, run outside and shout, hallelujah. We're there with you. Like, yeah, go for it. Set us on fire. Be the fire starter amongst us. Whatever it takes, be willing. The Holy Spirit will burn in and through you as you step out in faith. And it's we've heard this morning a lot of things about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've heard that this morning. Without faith, impossible to please God. Because with that, you come alive as you step out in faith. Chatting with John this morning, he reminded me of a scripture in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. I'll read it for us real quickly. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame the gift that is within you through the laying on of my hands. And as we come to the end of this journey, as we start to land this morning, we're trusting as the eldership team, we've been meeting as leaders, deacons, home group leaders, like, God, burn within us. We've had a season where we've been doing church differently. We use the word differently. Not really differently. It's just what God's been doing. We're not shifting the pendulum so far back to preaching, but God, burn within us. Your presence is what we hunger for in our lives, in our families, in our marriages. I want to take a moment to reflect. Even right now, I want to just close your eyes real quick. Are you burning out? Currently, are you burning out? Or are you ablaze with the Spirit of God? Are you fueled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit burning, very evident in your life? And are you being fueled daily in His presence? Because He says in His presence there is fullness of life and joy. And that's how we stay ablaze. Not just once a week at Calm or in church coming in once a week. It's like having a quick Red Bull and trying to run a race. It's not going to sustain you. You need to be fueled with the presence of God. I believe today, Today, God is saying that He's shifting things in our lives. He wants to ignite us. Dylan, at the start of this, he said he really feels God going to move amongst us. Even as we come to an end of this time, it's like God wants to move in and through us. God is saying, get rid of sin in your life. Young man, young woman, old man, older woman. If you've got sin, that'll dry you out. You'll stop burning for Jesus. Get rid of sin. Get rid of sin. Even today, God is saying that the lies of the enemy need to stop in your life. Someone's been in this place, even this year, you've thought of taking your life and saying that you can't do it anymore. I feel the Lord saying to you this morning, you can keep going on. Keep pressing on. You can do it. The suicidal thoughts that's saying, take your life in the name of Jesus, need to stop right now. God is in the house. He will set you free. He'll bring liberty. He'll bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Even this morning, the enemy's been lying to you. If that's you this morning, say, God, come. Come into my heart. Refresh. Set me ablaze for you. And today is the best part. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Today is a day of salvation. In Revelation, it talks about that. And this is the cool part. This is the good news. You've heard us singing this morning. You've heard us praising the Lord and worshiping this King of Kings. And the beautiful part is that this morning, by no coincidence, that God has brought you here. Maybe the last few weeks. Maybe today someone brought you into this place. Or maybe like Kaylin, you're like, I've accepted the Lord before, but I want to refresh my life in the presence of God today. And the Bible says so clearly that as we confess our sins one to another, He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Jesus came to earth. God sent His Son to die on the cross for you. See, we've all messed up. I fell so short of the glory of God. I gave my life to Jesus as a four-year-old, but I was still a sinner. There's not one perfect, not one that's righteous, the Bible says. And this morning, God is saying that He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to make right with you. And you need to make right with God today. He's already done it all. He's sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And the first part to living this life of being ablaze is knowing Jesus 100% in your life. That He's your Savior, that He's your Lord. And please hear us. It's not about joining Josh, Jen necessarily. God might add you to us as a family. Not about joining a religion, but it's about making sure that you're right, in right standing with the living God that who created you. And this morning, we would love to give you that opportunity. Even as Kaylin said earlier, she couldn't help it but put her hand up. And why do we put our hands up in church? Like, what's that all about? It's an outward sign of what's happening in our hearts. Not for us to necessarily see, but it's for God to say, yes, in faith, there's a physical action that's happening. I'm lifting my hand, showing what's happening in my heart right now. God, as I put my hand up, it's an international sign of surrender, saying, yes, I surrender my life to you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, if that's you, just to raise your hand, and really not to embarrass you, but just to say, yeah, Ivan, today, I want to make right with God. If you've done it before, maybe many times, just again, it's like, Lord, this morning I want to be afresh, commit my life to you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. God is calling you this morning. It's beautiful. He set up this whole morning just for you. The worship, the time together, the words. So Jesus, right now, come by your Spirit, Lord. If that's you, if your hand's not already lifted by now, why don't you just raise it? No, hands already going up. Just say, yes, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Say, God, afresh this morning, I want to commit my life afresh to you. Come on, if that's you, just be bold this morning. Who cares about who's next to you? You did this 10 years ago. But this morning, God, this morning I want to say afresh, I commit my heart to you. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. I'm going to read Romans 12:11 over us as we end this morning. It's from the Message Bible. We don't normally go to the Message Bible, but it does say it kind of sums it up for us. It says this: don't burn out. Don't burn out, Josh, Jen. Keep yourselves fueled and ablaze. Keep yourselves fueled and ablaze. Scripture God gave me this morning for some of us here. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? What does it profit to get that house, to get that Porsche, to get that new skateboard, or whatever it might be in your life, but yet lose your soul? Seek first the kingdom of God. So Father, this morning, come, set us on fire. Set us on fire for you, God. Father, the hands that have been raised this morning to you, just a sign of saying, yes, Lord, come into my life afresh. Can we say a prayer together? Can we do this? Can we stand? Your bums are probably sore by now. Can we stand together? I'm about to close. Can we say a prayer of faith? It's really a prayer of faith, because out of faith is where God comes. Can you repeat with me? Dear Jesus, come, let's say it together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for forgiving me of all my sins. Won't you come this morning and wash my sins away? Help me to live for you, God. Thank you for the life that you have as I surrender my life to you. Come afresh, God, into my life and help me to live my life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, this morning set us on fire.